Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of Reclaiming Creativity, a podcast where we explore how to reclaim your creative mojo after having kids. These days, my mind is usually a jumble of thoughts, all vying for attention, none coming to the forefront for examination and reflection. There's not a lot of depth these days, since most of the hours of every day are spent with a pre-verbal child. It keeps me on my toes, for sure, but the intellectual stimulation? Yeah, not much of that. I used to have serious, even existential conversations with friends and my husband. We talked about things that were deep, heavy, and meaningful. Now all my conversation revolves around the cutest thing my son did that day, or his bowel movements, the quantity and quality thereof. I never realized that such an immature digestive system would expel things in basically the same form they were consumed. I feel like I've lost my brain. I used to read voraciously, devouring books like a bag of lint dark chocolate truffles, frozen, of course. Now I can't even concentrate long enough to get through half a page. I can't remember the last book I finished reading. I do read, mostly in the form of blog posts and news stories, something I can finish in the time it takes for the little guy to realize I'm not paying attention to him. So I'm not sure what to do about this. I try to read, but get interrupted and don't remember where I left off, and end up reading the same paragraphs over and over, never getting anywhere. Maybe this is the time where I write more than I read, create more than I consume. So, I needed a little inspiration, something to remind my brain that it's a creative one and maybe spark some movement. I started listening to music again. It's funny, but I haven't plugged into the music that really feeds me creatively in a long time. I listen to a variety of stuff just to get the little guy's neurons firing, but not a lot of my music. So I started last week with Over the Rhine. Can't play their music on this podcast, although I think I will email to see if they'll let me. They strike me as those kinds of folks. I've also snuck in some Sting while the baby plays. I crave depth. There's only so deep you can go with a one-year-old, especially when mine's favorite thing to do is blow raspberries on my arm, leaving a puddle of baby slobber. I need to dive deep. I know it's sort of cliched in some circles right now, but I have to say it. I am a mermaid. That sounds really ridiculous to say, but I thrive in the depths. Like that quote by Anaïs Nin, "I must be a mermaid, Rango. I have no fear of depths and a great fear of shallow living." Not really familiar with her work, but she's on my list, right next to Rumi. Speaking of music, and more specifically, music that feeds my creativity, I want to play a song written, performed, and recorded by my husband under the name One Brave Soul. Just so you know what to expect, it's alt-rock with some grunge thrown in. Huge guitar, lots of melody, and just my kind of thing. And yes, that's one of the reasons why I married him. I'm truly a product of the 80s and 90s, and my heart will be forever tied to rock.
Above this land, I'm Looking out down below to where I come from. And I think when it's over, we'll be hanging out forever. Take our time and doing what we can. And I think when drowsy thoughts and conversation, like watching TV, some kind of movie based on true events with a happy ending. Ain't it funny watching history dance with future time? Hey, I think when it's over, we'll be hanging out forever.
I'm a last-minute kind of gal. My folks would call me a world-class procrastinator. And frankly, I'm sure a lot of other people would too. I don't do things that need to be done by a certain time until it's almost that certain time. Heck, I'm even writing this at 1 a.m. on my iPhone the morning of the day I'm going to record this podcast. I've always been this way. Papers for school, done at the 11th hour, usually good enough for an A, B if I was particularly sloppy. And more recently, preparation for my son's first birthday. We had him baptized in the Greek Orthodox Church in January, followed by a huge Greek-style bash. So I didn't see the point in overdoing the birthday. That said, however, we did all our cleaning, shopping, baking, and decorating in the hours before the party began, and somehow managed to pull it all together without skipping either morning or afternoon nap for the little one. I live a last-minute life, much to the dismay of my parents. I don't think it's as much of a problem as they do. It's not so much procrastination as letting other equally or more important things take precedence over that thing I know I need to do, but I haven't done just yet. So what exactly does all this talk about procrastination have to do with creativity? Well, a lot, actually. Often what looks like procrastination is in fact percolation, especially when it comes to creative work. The creative process for me is rarely linear. I can't ever seem to finish a piece without sitting on it for a day, or a week, or a year in the case of a gigantic 4-foot by 4-foot canvas that I painted for a church several years ago. Even in my own art journal, something I don't really have rules for, I stop pages and come back to them later, skip ahead, flip back, work a page from 2 months ago, and start a new one. For a piece with a deadline, however, I've realized I need to build in that percolation time, the time to not work on it, but let my subconscious work it out. I'll start a piece and get a first layer of paint or collage down, or write a first draft and work on what I want to work on until I need to stop. I need to stop when I get bored or frustrated or angry with it, or when it's no longer flowing easily. So instead of bashing my head against the wall, forcing myself to finish, I allow myself to step away. It's in the pause, the seeming procrastination, that things fall into place. A dream may give me the spark I need to finish. A conversation or TV show could be the thing that brings the solution to light. Banging through and trying to finish something when it's not ready to be done? That's just asking for trouble. But honoring that space, the pause, allowing uncertainty and ambiguity to rule a little, that's where the magic happens. Your brain, on its own, with no help from you, will begin to make connections you couldn't while you're at the easel or at the computer. It can be a scary place. The uncertainty is uncomfortable. Becoming comfortable with uncertainty, with silence, with that pause, and knowing that it leads to breakthrough, that is it. That's it. You're not procrastinating, at least when it comes to your art. Even if you haven't picked up a brush or pen in months or years, in that space, your brain has not been dormant. Your subconscious has been hard at work, forming new connections, new symbols, taking from your new life experiences and your ever-changing store of memories to create a reserve to draw from when you need it. Your life with kids may have taken you far from your creative self, or it may have awakened it. Either way, embrace the pauses and live life in between the art making. In between my art making, the past 2 weeks, besides my son's birthday, I've had 2 job interviews for a part-time job. It made me realize how much I crave adult human contact. I also realized this when I wrote in my journal last week that I need creative cohorts here in my new home state. Creative friends to, well, create with, be accountable, meet for highly caffeinated sessions of talk and art. So, if you're listening and you're in the New Jersey area, preferably North Jersey, drop me a line. You can go to the contact page of reclaimingcreativity.com to get in touch. Now for an update on my challenge from last time. The challenge I issued, which is a gentle nudge more than a challenge, was to create a little bit every day. I did something creative almost every day. Can't quite recall when I didn't, but I know there were at least 2 weekend days where I didn't do a thing. Most other days I doodled, I wrote, painted a little. And you can always see what I'm up to on Instagram. I usually post works in progress or completed ones on there. You can check the show notes for the link. And it feels good. I got in touch with some things I wrote in 2010 regarding finding your creative voice, which will show up in this podcast over the next few months. I also came upon some new things, like the need for depth and creative cohorts. I feel lighter, more me. So, this time around, why don't you do a little journaling on the uncomfortable space between starting a piece and finishing it? What is it that tells you when you need to take a break? How is it that you finally come back around to finish it? How does it feel, besides uncomfortable? I'll do the same and share a bit of my observations next time after the interview, which will feature Alicia Summer of Blackberry Magazine. Now, if you're looking for another podcast to fuel your creative fire, might I suggest the Creative Mom podcast? This was the first podcast I came across that did a little of what I want to do. Amy started Creative Mom podcast in 2006 and has a huge backlog catalog. I haven't listened to them all, but I'm working through one by one. I like the cadence of her voice, the stories she weaves between music and book reviews. I admit I am modeling my podcast a little after hers. Anyway, I encourage you to take a listen. You can find her at creativemompodcast.com. I'm Alexia, your host for Reclaiming Creativity, the podcast where we explore how to reclaim your creative mojo after having kids. Please visit the website for show notes at reclaimingcreativity.com.